Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling? The walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins.
I'm KC.
And I'm Tyler.
And you're listening to
The Element Podcast.
Tonight, I need you by my side. Hold on to me and keep me in the light.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to The Element Podcast, brought to you by First Light Gear. We are doing a live Q&A via YouTube, so this is legit live if you're joining in on the YouTube channel. If you're not subscribed, you need to be, because it's where all the happening stuff happens. And then if you're listening to a podcast, we have got to edit out all the stuff from that. So you just kind of get like a not even real version if you're listening to the podcast. So go to YouTube and subscribe there, because it's way better. I'm just kidding about most of that, but YouTube is a great place, and you get to see a lot of cool stuff on here. Tyler Jones, next to me. Eric Gentry, you can't see, but you can hear him.
Yep, I'm here.
He's wearing his hockey jersey today because it's hockey weather outside.
It is.
He actually may not be showing up on the YouTube Live because of the mic situation.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you can't hear him if you're on YouTube Live, but you can hear him on the podcast.
Eric, say something, and we'll see if they can hear you.
Can you hear me? Roho Panda is here.
No, they can't hear you for sure.
All right, we'll let you know if somebody says something.
Yeah.
But yeah, Q&A. It's a chance to ask us pretty much anything. Good thing is we don't have to answer everything.
Yeah, we may or may not answer it.
there's definitely some questions already coming in, it looks like.
John says they can hear Eric.
John says they can hear you. Sweet. So, Eric, do you want to go ahead and loudly proclaim some questions to us?
Sure. What's the best saddle for a beginner?
Beginner.
Beginner saddle.
Man, I think they're all like they all take some time to get to know and get used to and to learn from learn how they work. I don't think that there's necessarily, and I may be wrong, KC, but I don't think there's necessarily like a beginner saddle. I think it's just like saddle hunting for a beginner is just something you gotta kind of learn. It's like, you know, there's guitar lessons for beginners, but the guitar is not for beginners to be good at. You know what I mean? So you have to start somewhere, and I think it's just pretty much just jumping into a saddle. I will say the one I use is pretty comfortable.
If I want to give you a non-industry answer, you can kind of go two different directions with this. If you're the kind of guy who's committed to saddle hunting and you want to be like, you're like, I'm going to start saddle hunting, it's a thing I'm going to do, then maybe you should think about the details of the saddle you're going to use. I used a couple of them. I like Cruiser, I like Tethered, I like Timber Ninja. That's the ones I've used the most. They all are nice, but you know, do your research, find the one that you really think that you would go with, and purchase that. Now, if you're a kind of guy who wants to try it out, because it's kind of what that sounds like with that question, I would find the closest, cheapest saddle that you can buy used and try it out, and just do that. And I wouldn't probably do the borrow a buddy thing, borrow a buddy's, because he's going to want it back. But find you an expensive one to try out. Hunt out of it a couple times and see if saddle hunting's for you or not. And then you can make some decisions about if you like this or don't like that or whatever it may be. And then you can always sell that used one again if that's not the one that you wanted.
And the market for resale is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I'd say I used the Tethered for a year and never had any issues. I know a lot of guys suffered from hip pinch stuff with the Phantom, I think is what I used. I loved that saddle. I thought it was great. I like walking in that saddle. But I've been using the Cruiser for the last couple of years. It's more comfortable, in my opinion. The what's the Cruiser called that I use? Single panner. XC. Mm-hmm. So it's more comfortable, but I don't like walking in as much with the saddle on in the Cruiser as I do the Tethered. So those are my 2 cents. What else we got? Sorry.
Did I cut you off? No, it's fine. I will say I've used the saddle that you didn't talk about. I have used is the Timber Ninja. I don't remember what it's called either, but it's a single panel. It's not quite as comfortable as the Cruiser, but it has some unique features that are like kind of top-end type stuff. So if you're looking for something that's like that, might be something to check out.
Mick wants to know, are you permanently collabing with Meat Eater?
Semi-permanently, yeah. Probably. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we do work closely with Meat Eater, so you'll see more of us on there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Best budget-minded setup to hunt from a tree in East Texas?
Are you going to be mobile?
I mean, yeah. I guess if you can clarify that, that would help us.
Let's answer each
direction. A cheap tree stand is even, I mean, even if you're semi-mobile, can be probably the best budget-minded thing. Mm-hmm. The saddles are just going to cost more than a tree stand in most situations.
Mm-hmm. I think that climbing is where, honestly, it gets a little bit more difficult because it's going to be pretty expensive if you want to be mobile with climbing gear. Or you can use screw-ins on private, and they're not very expensive at all. That's probably the best way to be mobile with on the cheap.
Okay. If you have a specific bow stand on your place, would you replace a hang-on stand to saddle hunt it or just leave your hang-on stand?
I'm going to leave the hang-on stand for sure. Too. It's just real nice to just have that thing out there and be able to hop up in it. And, you know, quite honestly, it's more comfortable. I mean, a good saddle isn't very uncomfortable, but the hang-on's nice.
Yeah, I've got 2 hang-ons back here on my property and hunted once out of them this year because there's no deer. But I've left them there for years. And I killed ranch buck with a saddle on, but out of a hang-on.
12 Ring Outdoors says it's going to be 2024 is going to be the best season of his life. He's feeling.
Let's
he wants
go.
To know if anyone else is feeling the same.
Me, for sure. For sure.
Man, I'm down in the dumps. I don't think I'm going to hunt this year.
Humpty Dumpty. Oh, no.
Nick wants to know, how can you get the best antler growth for free range deer?
High protein. I'm not a biologist, but from the small amounts of research that I've done, because I don't own enough property to really do this, or even have some sort of management abilities on any property that could do this really too much. But, you want to feed high protein pretty much year round. I think you want to create as little stress as possible for the doe herd, especially. And from what I understand that, the healthier the does are, in a long-term situation, the greater antler growth and overall body weight you'll get on the buck deer, throughout the year. So it's like the research I've seen is like the first generation doesn't necessarily, benefit from, good feed, but that the second generation there's these biological signals that are sent from the doe that hey, things have been good out here for years and you can sustain a bigger body weight little buck baby when you come out. So because things are so good and we're fed so well and our stress is so low that, you know, that's the best, if you're talking about the best way, I think that from the research I've seen, it's that it's like creating generational, good conditions for especially those.
I don't really think that you can do a whole lot about it as far as antler size, but Tyler's points all would be things you could try, and they might work, but it's just there's so many outside circumstances and things. You know, maybe if you had a ton of acreage, you can make a difference. And I know that people in South Texas do it, but, you know, if you were trying to make an impact, you know, good high-protein food and water would be – I would, like, do my best to make a buck not have to travel very far in his life. I think that would make the biggest difference, honestly.
Yeah, because age is going to trump just about everything. I mean, even some deer are just destined to be a 130 their whole life, you know, and that's but they're not going to be a 130 if they're destined to be that at 4 years old, probably, even. I mean, like, if it's destined to be a 130 its whole life, then it's probably 5, 6, 7 years old before it gets there.
I've seen a few of these roll through that are asking about specific places, and I'm going to tell y'all that's a no-no. We're not going to talk about specific locations of public land. FYI.
Any DC NF hunts in the future?
That's that a specific would be one place.
Of okay. I didn't know what that meant.
Well, see, I understand. I would have talked about it a few years ago, but we get hammered when we talk about stuff like that, guys. Like, I would love to. I'd love to have a conversation with you about it. And maybe at a live event we can do that, you know, where you show up and we get to shake your hand and talk about it some. But, yeah, like, if I say we're hunting in Texas, everybody on the forums will say that we're ruining Texas hunting. So, you know, I don't know what to do about it other than just to create generic content that people absorb. Everything's generic now, y'all. Everything is just, hey, don't offend anybody.
Yeah, and you can ask that some of those questions in a generic way. Like, for instance, if someone said, any plans to hunt some of that big wood stuff in the eastern part of the state, we can go with that. You know, and the answer would be no, I hate it. I'm glad that country's there, but it's hard. I mean, for squirrels, yeah.
Yeah, it's far enough away, too, that, like, day trips are tough. So, I mean, we've done some, but you just don't get to spend a lot of time out, you know, when something's 3 hours from you or whatever.
Nick has a beginner bow and wants to buy a new one. What would you recommend for his next bow?
He wants to upgrade from beginner bow?
Yeah.
If you have shot a beginner bow, you probably didn't put a lot of thought in. Now, I'm not trying to be rude or anything. I'm just kind of assuming some things. You probably didn't put a lot of thought into the qualities of the bow that you liked when you purchased it. If it was a beginner bow, you probably were looking for something economical, I would think. Or maybe you were looking for something that was easy to shoot, potentially. Or maybe your favorite influencer told you you should buy that one. I don't know. But you're looking to step up. I would go shoot as many bows as you can. And shoot the one, and I would narrow it down at least to the ones that you feel comfortable. Both with the draw cycle. It's probably a big one, and Tyler can probably talk about that more. And then also, like, the grip. And for me, I think how easy the bow is to control. So, like, personally, bows that are a little longer axle to axle seem to be a little easier for me to control, and I think that would be the same for most people. I'm not a big guy. I'm 5'11 on a really good day, so really it means 5'10. And so
getting shorter,
that's
too.
That's right, getting shorter and wider. So I know that seems like a generic answer, but just go to your pro shop. If you're local out east here in East Texas, go to Canton to our shop down there and tell them that you want to shoot a bunch of bows because you're interested in purchasing a new good one, and you'll have some thoughts. You probably want some real answers, so I'll tell you. I love my Bowtech SR350. I like a lot of the new Matthews, and I like the Prime Inline 6 maybe or something like that. I've shot those and liked them pretty good.
I shot a Bowtech SS34 all season, shot really well with it. It's a little bit slower than what I shot the year before, but it's manageable. It's a long ATA bow and seems to be more accurate and easier and more fun to draw than what I shot last year, which is a little more of a speed bow. So it's a thought. It's something that you could probably pick up used for a decent price too. So, yeah, I mean, I would agree with Casey. You go and shoot the bows and see what you like. And generally speaking, on a year-to-year difference, if you buy last year's bow from X company that you like what the bow shoots this year, if it's a similar bow, ATA and spec-wise, then it probably is going to be something you like. You know, so you can get it used cheaper from last year's model. They don't change a whole lot year to year usually.
Yeah, and nowadays there's just not a lot of bows you're gonna shoot that you're gonna draw back and shoot and be like, yeah, that was. Ugh.
Yeah, you know, there's just a lot of nice bows out there.
They're all pretty nice.
Any spring bow hog hunts coming up?
There are. There has already been some. There'll be more. We actually just recorded a sweet hog video that we're coming out on the YouTube channel pretty soon.
Yeah, there's we've already both attempted some stalks, so we're working on
trying to
shoot one for get a shot off at one. So the wind is not our friend sometimes.
Has Tyler decided on that once in a lifetime hunt yet?
Yes, I have.
Have you?
I would love to go on a hunt for once in a lifetime. In fact, I did a little shopping at the Dallas Safari Club convention in Dallas this weekend. And so I found something out. I'm gonna just say what the story is here. But I think I told the guys this earlier, and I didn't even tell them the kicker at the end. So I was looking, like, I love sheep. I haven't ever hunted them, but I would love to. I think they're the coolest. So I was looking through the booths, and it's one of those awkward moments where this guy kind of like catches my eye, and I catch him, and he's at his booth, and then he's like, hey, man, what's going on? I'm like, hey, what's going on? And I see this Fannin sheep, which is like a Yukon Territory sheep that is like a supposedly a crossbreed between a stone and a doll or whatever. So because it's not recognized in Boone and Crockett as one of the four Grand Slam sheep species, I was like, oh, that thing's going to be affordable, you know, or whatever. And I can pull out a loan tomorrow and go just do this thing in 2 years, 3 years. So I was like, oh, is that a fan of sheep? He's like, yeah. And he tells me this whole spiel on how his place is the best and, you know, hardest to get into and this and that. And kind of gives me the whole, you know, nobody cares, work harder speech. And then I was like, oh, cool. Well, can I grab one of those price sheets from you? So I grabbed one. The first thing on there was the Fannin sheep. I was like, oh, cool. $55,000. And I decided, man, that's probably not the hunt for me. But that's weird because I thought that'd be the cheap one, right? Which it is cheaper than a stone sheep. Even. But here's the kicker is I was talking to one of my buddies at the show about it who has done quite a bit of sheep hunting. And he was like, you can apply Fannin to your stone sheep. So they will accept Fannin sheep entries in the stone sheep category. So that's why it's still crazy expensive. It doesn't have the colors that like a stone sheep would have, but it fits into that category. So guys can get their Grand Slam. So they're charging a lot of money. So that's one way to say that. Yeah. Clay Beard just said that. That's one way to say that, that was, a bust. And then I started looking at prices right off the bat, like mule deer. I was like, oh man, a big mule deer, maybe cool hunt for mule deer or something. Maybe that's more affordable. And it was like, oh, there's one for $16,000. And then I was just like, you know what? This is fixing to turn into Europe. Is what's this fixing to happen? I really stopped looking. I started looking at fishing, pretty much. That's what I was doing there, is looking at fishing stuff and just kind of sightseeing. It was fun. But I just like, I don't know. It's weird because, like, as fast as inflation is increasing, salaries aren't keeping up. And then on top of that, the hunt inflation for stuff like that is, because it's a 1% kind of hunt, it's inflating even faster than inflation. So, like, there's no way that our salaries will ever catch up. I don't think I'll ever go on a sheep hunt. I don't know if I ever will. And I thought, like, 10 years ago, I thought for sure I could do this. If I have to pull out a loan in a few years and just pay it back over, 3 to 5 years or whatever, then I'll go do that one hunt, and just be happy with it. And now, stone sheep are $100,000. And it's like, I don't think I could really do that. I mean, I would have to like sell a massive piece of property or get some sort of crazy amount of inheritance or something, I think, before I could really even think that would be a possibility. But still, it's a lot of money. even with a big inheritance or something, right? So it's just crazy. My buddy, that he was like, they just keep paying it. And that's the thing. It's like, well, 25 or 30 grand wasn't nothing for these guys 4 or 5 years ago, and still nothing for them to spend 100 because they're 10 millionaires, you know, or whatever. So it's like, it really doesn't matter to them a whole lot. And I'm not in that category.
All right. Where's Hunter? How's he doing?
Which one? The one you've been taking hunting?
I've been taking a young man named Hunter. We know a medium-aged man named Hunter, too. I don't know. He went hunting here a while back without us. I don't think he killed anything. Sorry, Hunter. Hope you kill one day.
Where did the term calling big bucks toads come from?
Man, I think that's one of those things that, like, evolutionists would call this convergent evolution, right? Hmm. Where a lot of things come together and they all end up in the same spot. Because that's probably something that you said at some point in your life, I'm sure. We started saying toad around 2009 when we were bass fishing. I don't know who started saying it, you know?
Yeah, I don't either.
But it kind of came from fishing, I think. Like big bass were called toads. And then Claybeard says he heard Waddell say it. Okay. Good.
I believe that.
He stole it from me, I think.
For sure. Like, I don't know.
Big old toad.
If there's a guy that can influence the hunting industry to say something, it's him for sure.
This person says, hunting blacktails with a bow is majestic. Do you guys have any Western hunts for next year lined up?
It's majestic. Mm-hmm. Like, he's proclaiming that mm-hmm. to be a majestic yep. thing, an act of majesty.
I bet it's cool.
It seems cool.
No, I don't have. I'm not going to go.
It's affordable.
On any Western hunts next year, I don't think. We're focusing on the deers.
If I draw a good tag, then I'm going on a Western hunt. I don't have any really plans to pay for something right now to go on. I mean, I don't know. Times is tough, y'all.
That's right. I drew my good tag last year.
We need somebody to come in and fix this economy.
Speaking of that, is $1,500 a good budget for a bow?
Do you have sights and all that stuff already? I think that's...
Yeah, that's going to be low for a new bow with all the accessories, right?
Yeah, I think that's what a new bow with tax is going to cost you bare bow.
Yeah, you're probably about right.
What kind of bows are you guys shooting?
I got a lot of Bowtex.
Yeah. I've been shooting the SS, like SS-34, like I said. There's a Bowtex sends us stuff. So, I mean, when you can get a $2,000 setup for free, it's hard not to. I mean, if I'm being frank, I'm not trying to say, I'm just saying, like, we're blessed to be sent some bows. If everybody was sending us bows, then I would choose the one that I like the best. But mm-hmm. there's just a few bows being sent to the house. So
I still have my Elite. I might shoot that at some point in time.
Yeah.
It shoots really nice.
It is a good shooting bow.
It just isn't real fast.
Yeah. But I have one of their newer SR Core, I think it's called. I hadn't set it up yet, but I'm going to set it up and I'll shoot it a little bit and try to let you know what I think about it. We might do a video over it.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today, because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years, and not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
What are some things to do in the wintertime to get ready for next deer season? Is it worth scouting with a foot of snow on the ground?
I would increase your personal insulation if I was you. That's what I've been doing.
Call that PI.
You know, we used to really put a lot of effort into postseason scouting, and we don't anymore.
Lazy.
Yeah. Busy.
Busy, lazy.
And I think that if you had like a personal property of like 200 acres, it really could pay off. But public land is so volatile here where we live. Like, there's so many people that if your area suddenly gets pressure, like the area you put your scouting time into, it gets pressure that year, like it, and it didn't the year before, it can change. So it's almost like it's just not worth it. I don't know if we've ever postseason scouted our way into killing a big buck.
We have.
Where at?
I would scout with a foot of snow on the ground, personally, if you have the time. So, like, personally right now, it's hard for me to find the time to just go over and scout somewhere, you know, even locally or whatever. But we were squirrel hunting a few years back in the snow, and we found a place that we call Four Corners. And it is a place that a buck was killed.
Mm-hmm. And now it's a
2 years
that
later,
there's,
I think,
a lot of people on trail camera.
Yeah, it's weird.
Year, yeah,
I think that's coincidence. I think there's a lot of people on our trail cameras this year, and I think that that's more just an increase in pressure this year. And there'll be ebb and flow to that, I think, mm-hmm. usually, because all those guys will be unsuccessful more than likely, just because this is a terrible piece of property overall, you know. And so there will be. They will struggle, and then they won't come back the next year, and then there will be a new group, or they'll get fired up 2 years from now and have more time or whatever, you know. So I would say that if you have the time, if you have the fire and the gumption, then go out there and scout in the snow right now. If nothing else, it gives you an idea late season next year what will happen. And, I mean, hanging cameras right now is a good way to see, like, what you can potentially do in the late season after the rut next year if you get similar conditions, similar pressure. But while I say that, KC is very right. A lot of our scouting on public land has been futile because it is so volatile. Somebody said turn the volume up. Are any of y'all having problems with that other than that guy?
We're also seeing different stuff than he's seeing over here. Or I haven't seen any of the correlations. But
good.
Maybe, yeah.
I like it.
Keep them coming.
When are you guys going to hunt South Florida?
Oh, I saw that one. That's from Tacchio Spike's brother. I'd love to. I don't know anything about it, though. I don't want to hunt it for whitetails because I don't know if you can in South Florida. Can you?
You can. I don't know if you can hunt in South Florida. It's all like refuge, isn't it?
I don't know. Can you hunt that?
No. Refuge means preservation.
That's right.
Between you two, who is the best hunter?
Tyler.
No. This is a stupid question. This is stupid. No.
According to the Element crew, the fact that I don't get places early means that I'm not a good hunter.
I don't want to be. Says. Listen, nobody in this crew wants to be like Hunter.
What?
Said, well, oh. Who's the better hunter? Oh. Hunter's the better hunter, if you ask me. I don't want to be like Hunter. No. I don't like that question at all. I mean, because I mean, I can, you know, the obvious answer is KC, right? So, and then he's going to say me. So nobody gets the truth.
I beat you. You know what I mean? You to it.
Nobody knows the truth either way.
That's right.
Right. But, like, it's not like a, this isn't a competitive sport or anything. So it's not like a, it's not even like ice skating. Like, there's no like judges that have some certain qualifications that they judge on and say, well, this guy's better because he did a toe touch while he's in the tree stand or whatever, you know? So
if we went down a list of like 30 attributes of hunters, we could point and say who is better at that thing, probably pretty pragmatically. But as far as like who's better, general, that's pretty hard to say.
We both do some things way better than the other one does, you know?
And then we do a lot of things similarly because we hunt together a lot.
Yep.
Geoff, I'm not really sure where he's at, but he says we can we can hunt blacktail, whitetail, and mule deer with an OTC tag. If you had to pick one to focus on for a mature buck, which one would it be?
What's this guy's name?
Geoff.
More, I kind of like Geon. I would hunt whitetails because there's a really good chance that that's the most populous of those three. Because you're in a really specific area if you have mule deer and blacktail. And the chances of those deer growing to maturity are probably better because whitetails just proliferate like crazy. There's a lot of them for people to take. And I've noticed, too, in places where there are mule deer, people tend to focus on those and don't shoot the big whitetail bucks because they're trying to hunt big old mule deer bucks.
Ditto.
Who do you all want to win the Super Bowl?
Who's in it?
I don't think we know
Michael
yet.
I want Michael Stoll to win the Super Bowl. I don't know. I don't,
Who all's in right now?
Well,
Detroit.
Cowboys aren't.
And the 49ers, well, they got a bye, right? So Green Bay and Detroit made it through this weekend. And then
Chiefs won.
The Chiefs won. When their Bills, oh, Bills game is today because it got moved.
Man, I wanted the Dolphins to win that game, but I knew them Dolphins ain't going. Tua ain't never lived in that kind of climate in his whole life, you know? He ain't never been a day in that stuff, probably. Yeah.
Got some Lions fans on here. Michiganders.
I kind of am pulling for the Lions because I like old Dan Goff Campbell? Or whatever.
Oh,
Goff, like, not Geoff, but Goff.
I like Dan Campbell. I'd probably pull for the Lions.
Damble.
They hadn't won a playoff game since like 2002 or something.
Probably haven't been to a playoff
32
game.
Years, right? I think it was first time in 32 years.
Huh? How about that?
And they beat the Rams, who Geoff was.
Yeah, and
at the Rams.
That's where their quarterback's at.
All right. Thoughts on Matt Ranella and beef with Hunting Media?
I mean, I don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
The last thing.
Dude, this is the same guy. Keeps answering two different people with the same, like, Lions thing.
Lions fans for life, baby.
I don't ever listen to that stuff.
I don't
man.
Either. Drama is not my favorite. Yeah. And I like.
We eat deer, not beef around here.
Yeah, it ain't. This ain't E News, you know. So, I mean, some people like that stuff, but. I have no clue what's even going on there, really.
What's your preferred pack for saddle hunting?
I like those First Light packs. They got some problems, but I don't know. When you're hard on stuff, everything's going to be kind of hard.
Yeah, we are hard on stuff. I mean, there ain't a whole lot of gear that just holds up to much use of ours. I think there's a little common – it's not – just being hard on stuff, it's hunting a hard way, and it's also, we put a lot, like you talk about this a lot, like, man, I just don't like a soft boot, you know, or whatever, or like these stout kind of sheep country boots or whatever, and I don't personally, and you don't like them a lot of times, it seems like, because of the durability, and I just think that you walk like literally 30 times as much as the average whitetail hunter, you know, or whatever that might be.
It's impressive that I'm chubby, if you think about like, the fact how much we do, you know. He eats a lot to be in that shape.
Hey, that's what you do it for, man.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that what's that thing called we have?
Transfer?
Transfer pack. Actually, it's a really good pack.
Yeah, I like it a lot, too. Yeah. You can haul a quarter out with it, too, and stuff. It's not comfortable to haul a quarter out with that pack, though.
Yeah.
It's not meant to do that.
No. We're not minimalist saddle hunters, though. I think a lot of saddle hunters are, so that's probably not the go-to for you.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, too, there's some things in the works at First Light on that front. But I think a lot of other guys like smaller stuff. I tell you this, back before I filmed and I only hunted East Texas, I wore a fanny pack a lot.
Yeah,
hunting. I did too. Liked fanny packs. I still like fanny packs.
Yep, me too. I actually did a bunch. I wonder if that's like, did your dad do that too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My dad did that too when he first started. And I kind of wonder if that was like their generation that did that mm-hmm. had that kind of thing going on. It passed it to us. But I would say I like to pack a lot of clothes, so I like a bigger bag usually than probably most guys at Saddle Hunt want to carry. But there's a ton of options. Like you could go to a million of them, you know, Westy, you know, gear companies. Mm-hmm. And there's, I mean, the ones that are notable, the companies that are notable, they have good options. Usually.
I feel like there's a Mystery Ranch pack that people talk about a lot.
Treehouse, right? Is that it?
Is that, I thought the Treehouse was Kefaru, maybe.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. There's a Kefaru and a Mystery Ranch. You might be right. That people, probably is the Treehouse. And there's a Kefaru one that people talk about a lot. I can't remember. It was maybe the 38 Special. I don't know. Somebody else might know. But that's not me speaking with knowledge. That's me speaking like from just what I've heard.
How much time do you spend scouting on out-of-state trips? Let's say a five-day hunt.
Half a day road scouting. Probably would be about average.
I bet I don't even do that half the time. I mean, I'm hardly ever.
I mean, we scout midday in the road on the roads a lot.
Yeah, like yeah.
Trying to find something new or whatever. We'll spend 2 hours driving around, grab some food from a convenience store and eat while we're driving and looking at like, is there a food source there? Or did they actually get enough water to grow something there? Whatever.
Most of the times on a hunt like that, I've scouted a lot on X beforehand, and I have a couple ideas of what to do on certain wind directions. And if I end up doing some scouting, it's glassing. Like if I'm missing a hunt, it's glassing when I don't have a good wind to go to one of the places that I wanted to go to.
The most I ever drove scouting on an out-of-state hunt was the first year in South Dakota. You remember that?
Yeah.
Dude,
that was dumb.
There was legit a day where I drove, I think, 5 or 6 Gosh. Hours.
Yeah. Our intern at the time just slept in the back seat while Tyler and I drove around.
I had to film the first deer we saw in Nebraska for sure.
Yeah.
It happens. Interns, they sleep sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, rarely, but they do.
What is your favorite state to hunt in?
Alaska.
I think it would be. I
haven't been yet, but it will be my favorite.
Texas, just because I've been here a long time. There's a lot of cool things to hunt here.
Y'all ever checked out
Hold on. I just want to make sure that when people, you know, listen to this, that they don't, please don't accuse me for making Texas hunting like a big deal now and there's nowhere to hunt. I'm sorry. I didn't intend for that answer to make.
Why did you put up those high fences?
Just the markets of hunting, and whether it's on public or private. You know, sorry if the lease prices go up because I said that, which they're not. They're already high.
Have y'all ever checked out the public land that's pretty far west here in Texas? Mesquite is thick, but the deer population is pretty stable.
Mm-mm.
All right.
Somebody asked where I got this OnX hat, I think.
From OnX, right?
From OnX. I was like,
we both have on OnX hats. How about that?
Man. Let's put our heads together. I saw Chris B was wearing a cool black OnX hat with a white patch logo on it. And I was like, I sent a picture to my buddy that works at OnX. I said, how do I get one of these? And he was like, I'll send you something. So he sent me a box, and this was one of the hats in it. And I like it because I need some blaze here and there. I don't probably need any more because I'm never going to hunt public again, I don't think. But I like this hat. It fits good. Like most of my blaze hats look just like the most Elmer Fudd-looking thing you can imagine.
If you could hunt with anyone that has a big name in the industry, who would it be?
Who does have the biggest name?
Remember when Nomar Garcia Parra could barely fit his name on the back of his jersey? That was a big name.
That's what I was thinking about, who has the biggest name. You know, Bill Winkie has a tiny name.
Yeah, he does.
And then Hunsucker has a pretty big name.
Michael Hunsucker. Yeah.
Let's see.
Robertson. Kind of long.
I guess you could, you know,
Robert's son. 1, 2, 3.
You'd probably say Lee and Tiffany Lukowski. That's that, you know, they kind of come as a package. So like that's a bunch of name in there. I don't know. Now there's a lot of short names in the industry. Isn't there
are
Larry Zonka, Jim Zumbo. Like those, you know, those are old school guys.
Jim Shockey.
Shockey. No. Okay. So the actual question. Jim Shockey would probably be top of my list.
Be a hard one to beat for sure.
He's cool.
Old Jimothy.
This person wants to know, if I sent you a picture of a property, would you give advice on how to hunt it?
Maybe. If you catch us on a good day.
I would say it must be a really good day.
Here's an example.
We used to do a lot of that because we had a lot more time and a lot less people sending us stuff like that. Unfortunately, I would like to be able to do that, but
just don't have the time to put into stuff like that anymore, guys. I'm sorry. You could send it to us, and maybe we could use it as an example in a video if you wanted us to. I'm not saying we're going to do this, but if you're okay with it being a public thing and we could spend time making a video about breaking down a hunting property that we've never been to, might be something we could do, but I'm not saying that we will.
Would you sit in the same stand 2 full days in a row?
Mm-hmm. I'd
sit there more than that for sure.
Yeah. I thought about this the other day. I thought this might be a cool concept to a video. Y'all tell me what you think. But I thought that we should do that. We should, like, you and I both go hunt the same property. Maybe it's a large property. And one of us would do the bounce around tactic, and one of us would do the sit in the same place the whole time tactic. And just see who had the better outcome after the end of the week.
Well, we might have actually done that recently on an actual hunt.
Did we? Which one? I'm not thinking about it.
North of here, not too far.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Good.
Arkansas.
How'd it go?
can't say. The video hasn't released yet.
Yeah.
I'm an ugly mug, by the way, y'all. I keep looking at my face on this live. I like we doing these podcasts and not video style, for sure.
I like putting those antlers on my head right there.
Is it worth getting a good clothing system?
Yes, it is. I mean...
Yeah, you might have to do it slowly, you know? Can't...
That's how we started.
Yeah, I wasn't dropping $1,200 the first year on camo. Like, I was like, oh, there's a $99 jacket that looks fluffy,
That's
you know?
Right. We got that discount on Sika gear like a lot of people did, and... I remember buying the first $200 jacket and being like, man, look at this thing.
Yeah.
Wearing it everywhere, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's cool.
It's expensive. We get to wear a lot of nice, expensive gear, and I'm thankful for it, but I kind of forget that that's, like, sometimes a little out of touch with people.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Is it was there a context, like weather or anything, or is it just, like, is it worth doing?
There's no.
I mean, it depends on where you hunt, for sure, and how you hunt. If you're a box blind hunter, I'd say no, actually. But it's nice if you're going to hunt around a little bit.
What AGM scopes did y'all get?
It's, the Adder. I have the Adder. It kind of looks like a actual scope. It's not like a round unit. But we only have one.
Our friend Clay says used gear from forums or like Facebook Marketplace maybe, or is a good place to find, to start building your system, you know? So just if you're struggling to afford it, you know, it is stuff that keeps you in the stand a long time if it's comfortable and keeps you warm.
How long before sundown or sun up do you try to have your setup settled and you're hanging in the tree? Casey?
I like to be early on evenings if I can be, but I'm not very often. In the mornings, I mean... It fits my lifestyle better, but I don't like to be there too early. I like to, if I had to choose, everybody would be still 5 minutes before shooting light. But Tyler probably thinks different on that than I do.
I'm probably somewhere between you and Mark Kenyon.
Yeah.
I like to be there. I don't know. I just like, I know what it's going to take a lot of times. And Eric's my camera guy a lot, and he's a real prompt guy. So if I tell him we're leaving it, 4:20, he's like, Lord, he might be early, you know. So we get out before we leave.
4:20, that's a good, that's an interesting
4:15 in the morning, sorry. I mean, if I say 4:15, Eric might be in the truck at 4:13, you know, so we might leave before then. And so, but I usually am pretty good at being in a tree and settled somewhere around the time it's starting to, you can kind of see it getting different, a different light, you know what I mean? So it's not like, I'm not like looking up in the sky necessarily, but being able to like see out there, see a bush just a little bit better than you could for the last 2 hours, you know? I mean, but I don't necessarily like to get there super early unless I feel really confident that it's going to help me. So like if I'm close to food or something like that, then, so it depends, you know, where I'm hunting.
Two things work against me in that is, for one, I don't like to be cold in the mornings. I just hate ripping the Band-Aid off and stepping out in the cold. And the other thing is that I like to sit around camp and jack around in the mornings, and that really gets me in trouble with being late. I get up on time just fine. It's just being productive in the mornings is a hard thing.
Yep.
And then the afternoons, we're always trying to get work done midday, and we end up later than we want to be almost every day in the afternoons.
It's that Rut Fresh podcast, man.
Stupid.
Come on. Stupid day.
What's your thoughts on e-bikes?
I like them.
I'd love to have one.
I wish ours didn't get stolen. I wish they work.
They sound effective for certain things.
Yeah.
What is the best tasting game meat?
The best I've had.
Neil Guy is my favorite so far. Elk's good.
I still think I like elk better than Neil Guy, but it's real hard to tell the difference.
Hog?
Hog's good.
But Neil Guy, I would say for
you
me.
You can do more with the dark red stuff, though.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Turkey's real good, too. Turkey's real
fish.
Good.
What are fish. We thinking?
Well, I think game. I do think animals as opposed to fish. But
what about that Berkeley big game, dude?
I know, man. You're right. I mean, you know, fish are called game fish, right?
Yeah. I'm with you, though. I was just playing the flip side a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Can you give a quick summary of meeting the hunting pressure guys on Casey's hunt?
Is that one of them saying that?
I don't know. Jake Watts, is that one?
I don't think so. No, it's not one of them. Those guys are real nice dudes. They cuss a lot, which is different than what I do. But we were brethren in the backcountry and helpful dudes. And they also shot some nice deer as well.
What's a good way to start a hunting channel?
Have 10 years to devote.
Don't start too narrow. Don't think that you're going to be the East Texas Saddle Hunting
BigBuckers.com.
You know, like, honestly, I would be as broad as you can with your idea.
I would start some like meat eater.com. That's what I would name my brand if I was you.
Ever burned down the hole in the wall in town after killing a buck?
Man, that's like been a dream, but have we done that? Maybe after Eric shot one time?
Yeah. Yeah. Which we don't, you know, we don't drink or anything too much, but I do like to find me a hometown Mexican food you want to go to or whatever we can go to, you know? Like it's pretty nice. I don't know, man, we really haven't got to do just the whole like thing too much. A lot of times it's because we have more than one tag holder. So it's like, let's celebrate, but then get back to it.
The like most memorable one I can remember is South Dakota 2021.
After we got mine and Hunter's deer out.
And we went to McDonald's.
Oh, party.
That was the worst. That was the worst night. I did not. I was so hungry and I didn't want to be at McDonald's. I was like, I got to go to bed.
What sticks are you guys using for saddle hunting?
Man. I hate to be a fanboy.
But you are.
But I am. Those tethered ones, I got some free tethered ones this year, and they are sick.
Yep.
I don't think I'd ever pay that much for sticks, even if I wanted the baddest ones out there. But when they're free,
how much
nice.
Are they? I didn't even know they're expensive.
I think they're like $120 a stick.
Yeah. That would be tough.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you had a different job where you actually made pretty good money.
Yeah. What's $120 nowadays, you know?
Right.
The time is now to buy because it's only going up
for
quick.
Sure, man. So, invest in product.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But also really like those, what are those muddies that you have?
Yeah, the Pro Stick. Muddy Pro Stick. Mm-hmm. Those are really nice. They're quite, like, once you use those one sticks, it's hard to go back. Mm-hmm. I like the cam cleat system a lot, but honestly, with the Amsteel ropes, I mean, it's real quick and easy just to loop them and tie a simple overhand and be up in the tree, in my opinion. Which is, that's how I do it. I don't know. There may be a specific knot that keeps you safer, so don't take my word for the simple overhand thing. I'm just...
What's that thing
I wear a lineman's belt, so I don't know about y'all, you know.
Your carabiner clip is unscrewed.
Close the screw gate.
Any turkey hunt content coming up?
Yeah. A lot of it. For sure. We actually have a lot.
Yeah, probably 2 months from now or so. Mm-hmm. Probably start seeing some of that.
Is there a way to hunt Neil Guy without paying or drawing a tag?
I haven't been on a hunt like that. I'd love to.
Where's Hunter Dickens at again?
He's probably in Palestine
He's such a star.
I know, dude. Get him on here.
That's all the questions.
We could have some of his video.
I feel like we had more questions roll through our thing than what.
Yeah.
If maybe. You're on the live, ask some more questions. If not,
I can
wrap this thing
ask
up.
Ask some
soon.
On Instagram real quick.
See if there's some on Instagram that they've
any
been
more
asked.
Hunting plans for this season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, always. We're hunting constantly. I mean, that's just something I do. Like, if I didn't even film my stuff, I'd be walking out with a gun.
There's
on
like
property.
Potentially a couple more whitetail hunts even this season.
You ever going to hunt black bears in Saskatchewan?
Nope.
I don't know about Saskatchewan, but I'd like to hunt some black bears.
Dude, I just don't have it in me right now to. And this could change, guys, but right now I do not want to go sit and just get eaten by flies and mosquitoes at a bait pile in Saskatchewan for black bears.
Is that what they do there?
I think that's what they do. For the most part. I mean, who knows what there's, you know, obviously people also think all you do is shoot hogs with thermals and we go stalking them in bows, but I think that's kind of what they do in Saskatchewan.
I like that. I want to do that log and road.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Kind of spot and stalk kind of thing. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
What is the biggest buck you've ever shot?
Man, that's a harder question than what people think it is. I don't know the score of my biggest buck, and I think that my biggest buck isn't going to score very big because it's probably that one I shot this year, even though he has a side that just doesn't score.
Yeah, 2021, I shot a deer. Probably most of you have seen the video of that one. I mean, he just looks like a giant. He's got four kickers or something like that. Just a mainframe 10, super heavy, white, kind of light-horned. That's probably the biggest. It's going to be the biggest scoring deer that I've shot, but there's some pretty big ones around too.
That's a big one right behind me, right there, isn't it?
Yeah, that one, that's a big one that I shot 2012, I think.
He's got split G2s.
Yeah,
he's split.
He's a mainframe 10 with split GTs, 2s, so that makes him a 12. And then he's got a split brow tine that makes him a 13.
Big dog.
Shot him 75 degrees when I shot that deer.
Yep. I'd love to do that.
If you could go anywhere to fish, where would it be?
Panama.
Seychelles.
Oh, dang. That one's a good one, too. that's tough. Probably... Probably Panama. Seychelles would be, I don't know. Seychelles would be harder to get to. So probably if I just had any option to go anywhere, if somebody's like, hey, here's all the money you want to go wherever you want to go, it'd probably be Seychelles because I know I could get to Panama at some point.
Seychelles are like the most remote place in the world almost. It's like you think Easter Island's remote, then fly 4 hours to the other direction.
Yep.
It's hard to even say what's east or west out there because it's such a weird place.
No, I agree with you. I was looking at some stuff like that last. I like to get on Google Earth and just go out into the ocean and look at stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was literally doing that last week, and I was like, "Is this like Pacific? Is this like what do they call this out here?" You know.
This person saw the Pennsylvania Map Scout Challenge video.
Mm-hmm.
There were some apple trees in one of the spots. Did you guys end up hunting that area?
We put a camera there,
yeah,
and it had some cool stuff on it.
A black bear.
It
looked like a nice one.
A nice buck. I think there was like a marten or something.
Probably.
Yeah. I think a lot of those pictures were in that video.
Mm-hmm.
If a 3.5-year-old deer is 130, how big would it be next year?
145.
The biggest jump is between 2 and 3. Is that right? Or 1 and 2, somewhere in there.
I don't know. They say that the skeletal body or the skeletal system stops growing at 4.5 on a big buck. I don't know if that's true or not. But.
Yeah, and there's a lot of discrepancy in that stuff, but it's probably pretty good answer.
Yeah, I'd say 145-ish. I think 15 inches a year is pretty standard for a lot of deer.
It also depends on the size that they are.
Yeah.
You know, it's very exponential, which you said 130. But if a deer's like a 150 S3, he's liable to be a booner as a 4-year-old.
Yeah. And then also like non-typical traits that it has, because as we've seen with certain deer, Casey and I have talked about some deer that people are like, oh, it's 200. I'm like, golly, how does that go 200? Well, I guess if it has, you know, 30 inches in flyers and drops, mm-hmm. then, you know, it's really just a 167 that has a bunch of drops and flyers. So, mm-hmm.
How's your other half feel about all your hunting?
All of it? Mm-hmm. Like as in... Every single hunt?
Do you mean Tyler and I or like the habits that we also have?
They love it now.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's tough for sure to like go and leave your family and, you know, 9 days later come back and like, you know, your wife's been leading your house for 9 days and taking care of stuff. And then you come back and it's like, well, who's this guy that wants to rule the house, you know? So there's things for sure. But, I mean, we were listening to a comedian last night, Kaylee and I, and is a female, and she was talking about how her husband he's worked for a mobile home company for forever and has traveled a ton. So, I mean, I'd rather travel a ton hunting than doing the mobile home thing, and I feel pretty happy and blessed to be able to do that. So I think that helps overall my mentality too a lot of times, and she appreciates and supports that I get to do something that really does give me joy, you know?
Yeah. I think that my wife likes the whole overall concept, but it's the micro things that are tough. It's like, you have to leave today? It's like, yeah, this is what I do for a living. You know, like it's hard. It's hard to kind of get over that sometimes.
Y'all got that new fuzzy First Sight stuff?
Potentially.
Maybe.
You probably seen it in a really video or picture. Like a fuzzy on a...
Is that like Bigfoot? Cheap old mind. Like that Mitch Hedberg joke? I think Bigfoot is fuzzy.
We got two questions back to back. What broadheads do you guys use, both for hogs and whitetail?
Sharp. No, well, for hogs, sometimes dull, but
no. big three-blade mechanicals are hard to beat. Pigs, sometimes a fixed blade is something that's nice to throw at them.
If you shoot a heavy enough arrow at a pig, big three-blade mechanical, they're just fine pretty much for most of them. But I think that big pig that was at the front feeder, did I shoot a 500-grain arrow at that thing?
Mm-hmm.
It did not even... touch anything in there.
And now, given you know, you
I hit it forward
you
or
didn't
whatever.
Shoot a plan B arrow on that one, you know, you hit him in a plan B spot. So,
yeah, I mean, but I still shoot a fairly heavy arrow.
It's the each side of the argument, right? Like, you hit him where you want to, then it's good to shoot the thing that you really like. I don't know. Greg just killed a whitetail with a like old school Magnus.
Yeah, it's not the originator of the plan B thing that we're joking about, I guess, as much as it is the people who just are hateful in comment sections.
If you talk to Troy, he's like a cool dude, and
he's
very open-minded about things.
But it's the people that like get on that ship and then just are shooting bombs all over the place at other ships in the ocean... We don't love that, mm-hmm. for sure.
If you had 2,000 acres, would you high fence it?
No.
Oh, no. I wouldn't. Unless I had other good places to deer hunt and I was like, you know what? I want to put a bunch of axes and crazy stuff in here. I might do that.
Fallow are cool. Fallows. I like fallow.
I wanted a fallow for a long time when I was young. But, like, I always thought the fallow were cooler than the axes when I was growing up. Now I think the axes is cooler, I think. But
their color phases are cool, too.
Yeah.
Axes don't have that.
Yeah.
But they're pretty.
I saw a, at the show, DSC, I saw a black Impala. Did you see that?
Yeah. I don't know if I saw that or not, but they're doing some weird stuff in Africa where they're, like, trying to, there's so many outfits. They're trying to make theirs appealing. Mm-hmm. So they're, like, doing some really active breeding
genetic
stuff.
Genetic manipulation.
Yeah, like doing red wildebeest. Have you seen the red wildebeest?
Mm-mm.
You know, like, they're doing things that you wouldn't have found on the plains. And so that, but yeah, that's where
so
it's
just hard to beast, wildebeest mix?
Maybe.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today. Because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
This person says, I noticed a lot of people shoot small slash young deer in Texas instead of letting them grow older. Would you shoot a small deer to fill the freezer?
Where's this guy from?
That's a good question.
There's a couple things to this. Go ahead, Tyler.
Well, I don't know if that's a Texan thing.
Okay.
Texas, I believe the research shows that Texas has the highest number of 3-plus-year-old bucks shot per hunter or something like that out of a whole U.S.
I think that people don't understand what 3- and 4-year-olds look like in Texas.
Yeah, I think that's probably
They don't look old. Like, Greg shot that deer, if you watched the buck truck, Greg shot that deer that was a 6-point that scored like 70 inches, and they said it was 5.5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a deer weighed 95 pounds maybe. So, what you're thinking is a young, small deer is probably a mature buck. But there are some young, small ones here. And, in fact, most counties, is it most? A lot of counties have antler restrictions that by, you know, like, de facto shoot 3-year-old pluses because they have to be 13 inches wide. So, like, so I would say that you might be off on that if you think that people shoot young deer here.
I mean,
I'm not trying to be argumentative. I'm just saying.
No, that's kind of where I'm at. Is like, I just don't, I don't know where that exactly is the case. I mean, there's some places, right, that don't have the antler restrictions, but. I thought it was like 274 counties or something. How many counties are in Texas?
I think that's
the number of counties.
I think that's the number of counties. Maybe 256 or
something. There's like I feel like there's a bunch of them that have.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. Somebody could probably look that up and fact check it for me.
What was your most enjoyable hunt?
This year?
Ever.
Ever. I can tell you which one it wasn't. Actually, I can tell you several it wasn't.
I don't know.
Man, Nebraska this year was fun. I had fun. That was enjoyable. Like, that was, like, things came together well. There was a lot of animals. It was like, there was no boring time in the stand, really, at all. Even when Eric and I hunted the first couple of days kind of closer to the house, like, there was no deer, but we were seeing turkeys and owls and all kinds of stuff, you know. It was just, I don't know, and it was good weather. I liked it a lot.
Are 300-pound boars common in East Texas?
I don't know my answer.
You don't have an answer?
It's fine. You're kind of right to move on because I don't know. I think of a hunt that was like, man, that was awesome. And then I think about like how terrible it was for the first 5 days before I killed something or whatever, you know? So like, I don't know. That's a real hard, I think about Arkansas last year, but actually the hunting was terrible. It was hard.
It was also excruciatingly hard to get up in the morning sometimes.
Yeah, and it was wet the whole time, but like the company was good and the food was good and it was great, you know? Yeah. So like, I don't know. I think if I was to put an optimistic spin on it, it's like I enjoy all of them, even when they're tough. Yeah. So it's kind of hard for me to – no, I say that. I don't know. There's a few that stick out. I won't oust anything there. But, like, there's a couple that were, I guess, cooler than others.
I went on a hunt with my friend Cody when we were in college, I think. We had a lease in Oklahoma, and it snowed. It was a really good cold front weekend, snowed. And so we didn't have to, like, we had this awesome picture where he shot, like, 148-inch 10-point. We
the 12-inch wide 148-inch 10-point?
Yeah. We shot sandhills. We shot Canada geese, specks, pheasants, quail, and I think we shot a duck. And, like, throughout the three-day span or whatever. And then there was snowing, so we just kept throwing stuff out in the snow beside the house, you know. And we had, like, a picture with everything that we did in that two or three day span there. And, it was really cool to like that picture is one of my favorite pictures. And it was one of my favorite hunts. Cause that's what I want to do. That's what the element was when we started. It wasn't a whitetail specific thing necessarily, or I didn't want it to ever be too much that way because I just love hunting and fishing everything.
Are 300-pound boars common in East Texas?
Mm-mm. It's a thing that can happen, but I mean, we hunt a property close to here that, what'd you say, collectively we spent 40 hunts between the two of us out there in the past 2 years. And the one you shot in the shoulder that we couldn't recover was probably the only one I think would push that.
Yep.
What's your favorite Bible verse?
I know one that's been on my heart lately.
I gotta look.
So Matthew 6:26. I've had a lot of anxiety lately, and it's not good. That's not a good thing. That's like a trust issue, you know, with God. So Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither reap nor sow nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father still feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And who by being anxious could add a single hour to his span of life? That's 27th verse. And that just, to me, is like, essentially, like if, you know, God finds a way to sustain sparrows, man, then how much more is he going to care about somebody and something that has a soul? So why would you be anxious? There's, I've been also doing an Ecclesiastes study, and it talks about how, KC says this a lot too, but how the foolishness of God is, the most wise a man could ever be, essentially, right? So, in all of my wisdom that I'd like to have, I don't like I still could never grasp God's plan, his redemptive plan for humanity, much less humanity, right? So I don't know all the workings and why things are happening, and that's okay. And it's okay to trust God in that situation. So those two things kind of parallel in my last week or so, probably, in my studies and thoughts.
It's good. Mine always rotates, and I get all the numbers mixed up. But one I always do remember is Proverbs 1:7 is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, which is it's a pretty profound thought, right? If you are a Christian, you have to. It helps you understand that you didn't know anything until you knew the Lord, right? And then I guess I'm always, which I believe this is a good thing, in a state of trying to be in some level of self-improvement in the context of Christianity, not that I can do anything on my own, but that there are things that we need to portray as Christians that show that we are Christians, right? And so Galatians 5:22 is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I think I hit all of them. I try to keep it memorized. And so that's, if there's something that I play back in my head often, it's that, because I want to make sure I'm portraying all of those qualities, because that is what a Christian does.
Alrighty. Thoughts on frontal shots?
Deadly.
Shoot them.
Shoot them. Hey, we out here trying to kill stuff.
That's right.
And if you're doing it with a stick and string, especially, man, like, you're saying I'm taking a chance that I wound something. Like, I mean, you can do that with a gun too, but you're saying I want to challenge myself. So if you think you've practiced enough and you're lethal with that thing at a frontal shot, and you feel like it's within the range that of your lethality, get after it, man. And you're just not going to make every shot. I can promise you, if you shoot enough shots, you're going to mess one up. You're not going to shoot where you wanted to, and you may still kill it, but you didn't hit it where you wanted to. It's hunting. It's not harvesting. It's not going out there and cutting the head off a chicken. It's just not.
I think that the emphasis on knowing what you're capable of is a big thing on that too, though. Like, I'm all about shooting frontal shots. But if you're the kind of guy who's kind of pie plate at 30 kind of guy, probably don't need to shoot them. Mm-hmm. But if you're a golf ball at 30 kind of guy, which is pretty hard to do, like, do it. Because that's lethal. Mm-hmm. You also need to consider what the animal's doing, like, for sure. Because these whitetails in Texas are sometimes not there after when the arrow gets there. So, I mean, for real. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not joking. It happens. So just keep that in mind.
I had a couple more saddle questions again. What are you using or suggest?
Yep. Back at the beginning, we answered a couple of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sorry, there's a lot of comments. Oh, do you all prefer bait casters or spinning reels?
I'm a bait caster guy.
80% of the time, bait caster. There's a few applications where I like a spinning reel, but a lot of that's salt water too. I like if I'm fishing the surf and I'm using like small to medium tackle, I'm going to use a spinning reel. But that's real specific. Anytime you have to cast into the wind with lightweight stuff, a spinning reel is the way to go. But otherwise, bait caster.
If a non-Christian asked you why you believe in God, what would you say?
Would you like to take a seat?
I mean, the evidence is plentiful, right?
Romans 1, right? 28, is that it? Romans 1:28? Romans 1 something, right? Like, look at that sunset. Do you like that sunset? It ain't the same as the one that was there yesterday, you know? And everything out there points to a divine inspiration.
Yeah, I just think it's crazier to think that this sea foam that somehow existed without a God.
Yeah, some light created, and some snot.
Some light that was there without a God.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be a God, right? And now you got to get the right God, I feel like, too. But, yeah, I mean, I can't sit out there and watch sunrises and not, that's the basis. That's just the basic, right? Like, and if you read the Bible, it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable the things that are revelatory in there, and that parallel with each other and connect throughout the Bible. There's no other way that this stuff is, you know, comes together like this without being divinely inspired.
I also think that it's pretty important from the Christian side in that conversation to not be offensive with your comments, kind of like, oh, well, you're an idiot for not believing, you know, like, because if somebody's asking you that, they're probably asking you in trust, either that or they're trying to trap you. And you might have a good idea of what they are doing as they ask the question, so your answers could be different. You don't ever have to answer any question anybody asks you. You can just turn it around. If they're trying to trap you, just be like, well, why don't you believe in God? And then you have a better understanding of where they are.
Well, but if also, you think that I don't know is an okay answer.
Yeah,
because that's right. You have to have faith at the end of the day. Like, there has to be a faith aspect, and faith means that there's a bridge to gap there. Mm-hmm. I mean, a gap to bridge there, and the faith is the bridge, and you don't, I mean, just like I said with the Ecclesiastes stuff earlier, it's like if I had the most wisdom that I could have, if I was Solomon, then I still don't have, it's still foolishness to God, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, there's a faith to be placed in something that created, like, these plants out here to pollinate each other and people to proliferate the earth and all of, you know, water to have a hydro system that, you know, evaporates, rains, gets drunk, and then back, you know, into evaporation. Like, it's just crazy to think about all of that and not just, you have to have faith, though. You have to have faith. There's no certainty at the beginning there.
The other thing, too, is if somebody is asking you earnestly, you know, we're called to have a testimony for what we do believe in, though, you know. So if you don't know, you need to do some thinking about it. And then, too, I think that just the nature of our belief as Christians points towards having an enemy, right? So, like, Christianity is the only belief out there that people are going to actively work against. It's going to be the only belief in general that tells you to put aside your humanly and work against yourself, right? Even things like Hinduism, which is generally a peaceful religion, is going to be focusing on the person, right? And all the other religions out there as well are going to be works-based. Mm-hmm. Christianity doesn't ask anything of you,
mm-hmm.
Except for full commitment at the same time. It's complicated, right? But yeah. anyway.
But so at the point of justification, at the point of your salvation, there's nothing that you did there, mm-hmm. and therefore, you know, it's the only, like, everything else, like Casey said, is works-based. You have to earn your way into salvation.
I think a misconception for non-believers is, like, that everything's just happy and joyful when you are a believer. But really, it's more that, like, you're at peace knowing things, mm-hmm. that, like, you don't have to worry and, like, it's just like a misconception. I feel like that everything's just perfect and happy, but mm-hmm. more you just know how to deal with stress, storms, anxiety, mm-hmm. and all that.
Yep. That's a good point.
What is your favorite fishing lure?
Stop. Don't say something weird here.
No, I'm trying to think, like, just saying in general, it's pretty hard. If I was going to say, give me something that's going to catch fish anywhere, I would say a silver spoon.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
But it's not going to be what I pick most of the time.
I was thinking bass fishing the whole way.
Yeah, sure.
But you make a good point. He didn't really say bass fishing,
yeah,
did he?
It's his favorite fishing lure. I mean, you can go to the surf and catch fish on that. You can go out deep, catch fish on a silver spoon. You can catch bass on that. You can have a smaller version to catch crappie, you know, so, and catch trout. I mean, trout probably been caught on spoons more than anything else, you know. So, I don't know.
I like swim baits.
Yeah.
But I was thinking bass. I was thinking I would throw a Texas rig lizard in a lot of situations.
My favorite way to catch them is on top water. So I love throwing jitterbugs and scum
frogs.
That's
what I thought you were
going
to say.
Man, yeah, I don't know. If you want to narrow it down to bass, scum frog, I'm going to throw like a weedless top water frog.
What's a good camera price? What's a good camera price-wise to start self-filming with?
Shoot. I hadn't checked in a while. iPhone. Sony AX53. Check that out. iPhone, yeah. Well, actually, it might be more expensive than the Sony. So,
well, yeah, but you're gonna have
you probably
it.
Already have an
yeah,
iPhone.
Yeah.
Don't go with the POV. Don't be like, oh, self film
yeah,
and choose a
that.
GoPro.
Nope.
Don't do that.
Nope. Good. Yeah. Good thought there.
Do you guys have any Moultrie Mobile promo codes?
I don't think so. You can try typing in Element and just see if it gets you something.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry about that. They're cool.
What's the biggest fish you have caught?
Biggest fish.
I caught a 7-foot, 1-inch bull shark.
I caught a 5-foot black tip.
Favorite red fish or sea trout lure?
I never caught a redfish. That's sad.
A Zara Spook.
Yeah.
Or something.
Eric. Really?
Okay, dude. One up me on
Eric
live.
Like 12-inch bass worms, Texas rig.
Yep.
So that would be, trout. It's kind of tough. I mean,
shrimp.
Honestly, a Clouser minnow is hard to beat.
Minnow?
It's a. Got him.
Yeah. Minnow.
Minnow. I've eaten a Mako shark. Somebody asked if I've ever eaten a shark. I had Mako steak one time. It was really good.
I've eaten a couple of the black tips we caught, and I didn't like it very much. So, Makos are part of a. Genus of shark, I think, or maybe it's the next one up. People come over from Germany. It's a family. They're from a family of sharks that don't secrete urea through their skin, which would include Makos, great whites, and poor beagles. Everything else pees through its skin.
I'd love to eat a great white.
Me too. talk about all the mercury, baby. Give it to me. But all the other ones do, and you have to kind of put them through a process to make them taste good. And in general, I'm not big on meat that you have to, like, do stuff to make it good.
Yeah, that's a good point. Salt and pepper is pretty
Except
good.
Except for sausage. I like sausage a lot.
Yeah.
But that's different.
Have you eaten shark?
Yes.
What version of the Bible is your favorite?
New American Standard is what I read most of the time. It's a word-for-word translation, which I think there's a lot of good word-for-word translations, but that would be something I would emphasize as being a good thing to look for.
We use ESV mostly within my church, so that's what I'm used to. I've been reading NIV a little bit lately.
What's your favorite hunt ever on camera or off?
That was an accident, by the way, too. My Bible app changed over to NIV,
yeah.
And I was like, I'm just reading it. I was like, oh, cool.
I've read a lot of NIV. I've moved away from it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's got some things that I don't really like, but
it's been a week, and I was like, I just left it. I was like, I want to see how this goes for a little bit here.
The NIV, if we want to get into this a little bit, okay, I'm not the expert, but the NIV does two things. It speaks in non-gendered language sometimes, which is weird, and the NIV also tries. It lends itself to remove a little miraculous out of things in certain times. There are a lot of believers that will be in heaven that read the NIV Bible, though. I'm not saying it's there's a sentiment that it's the non-inspired version, which I don't really go by that too much.
Favorite hunt ever on camera or off?
Do you think that's of ours, or is that favorite hunt ever?
Probably ours.
Yeah.
Ours, sorry.
Ours.
Ours. I was thinking about this the other day, man. The Nebraska buck truck hunt was hard to beat.
I like Nameless.
Oh, that was a good one, too.
Sorry. Yeah. I mean, and that's on camera, right? But, yeah.
The one I talked about with my friend Cody was a good one, too.
How did the pig spiders taste?
I don't remember.
Do you when in the Garrett Hogg video?
Yeah, I just don't remember.
You said it tastes like refried beans or something. I think. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Pretty nasty.
Do you prefer conventional or fly fishing more?
Just depends.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about fly fishing more just because it's kind of like bow hunting versus gun. But I did some gun hunting this year and had a lot of fun. So,
a lot of fly fishing is sight fishing, and I think that's why I actually like it. I don't think I like that I have to do this a whole lot. You know what I mean? Like it's not the act of fly fishing that I like. No. It's where it takes you and the pretty fish and the like.
Good thoughts.
Like the envelopment of the fishing experience. But I like conventional because a lot of times you're fishing for bigger fish with conventional.
Yeah.
You guys ready for the Bahamas?
Sure.
Always.
This person is just saying that it's their birthday and they love the channel. They just turned 13 and would like.
What's his name?
Melissa.
Oh, happy birthday. Melissa.
Sweet Melissa.
Would you guys ever consider doing a weekly live stream Bible study?
Yeah.
I actually thought about this last night. I thought about this last night and then I was like, man, I'm an idiot. So I didn't take initiative.
What is your favorite gun?
I don't have any guns. I lost them all in a boating accident.
Yeah, me too. That was the same accident.
Do you want to
if I was to look at guns on the wall
when
somewhere.
When I look at them,
But if I looked at the wall on someone else's guns. I'm a big fan of the AR-15 platform. I like how modular it is and how many different calibers you can get it in. I like 30-30s.
I like... Never mind. I like handguns. I think they're cool.
Yeah?
Yep. I wish I could have some.
Do you want to be on Meat Eater Trivia more?
Nope.
Tyler's 2 for 2, man.
Yep.
Big winner.
I want to go out just 100%.
That's right.
I
wouldn't mind being on the main show.
What's that like?
Would you ever pay to shoot a 200-plus-inch deer?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure would.
I don't know. It depends on the context, but if you mean lease a property that the deer's on, yeah,
that's
absolutely.
What I'm trying to do every year.
Yeah.
Do y'all like country music?
Yeah, I have to say yes.
Man, this is vague. Not like currently. I don't like the country music that's on radio right now, I guess you'd say. But, like, yes, I like country music, generally speaking.
I've been Wild Horses by Garth Brooks. Been singing that
Wild
a lot lately.
Horses.
Stone loves it. My son loves it when I sing it.
I seen a question earlier. I think I just skipped it, but what is your favorite song?
Favorite song ever.
How Great Thou Art is my favorite song ever.
I've been playing that on guitar a lot lately.
And sings my soul. Man.
And then
Now I got to do a Christian song.
The Red by Tyler and the Tribe.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I only like songs that I play.
I do like Bright Side of the Earth. I sing that all the time.
Thanks, man. I wish that Eric would put it at the intro of our podcast. Should he do that?
Yeah.
This one?
Yeah, for sure.
I need the file.
It's in the drive.
it is.
I'm a real big fan of Come Thou Fount, since we have to do a gospel
song. Yeah,
all you
Baptists are. Y'all like that song.
Yeah.
It really is a thing, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't know anybody in my congregation that's like, that's my favorite song. Yeah. But I do know a lot of non-instrumentalists that like How Great Thou Art.
That's right.
Pretty easy.
We can get them undulations in our voices.
Okay, my favorite secular song ever, probably Best of You by Foo Fighters.
Gosh, I can't answer that song. I don't know.
Oh,
I know what yours is.
Give you, what is it?
My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. It's,
but I love Guy Jose Cielo, too.
Yeah.
And then I also really like, I go blank because I don't listen to songs that much. I mean, Carrying Your Love With Me is a classic by George Strait.
There's some good George ones.
Yeah. I don't know.
What about You Ain't Met My Taxes Yet?
Yeah. I was
singing that one the other day.
I like Can't Help Falling in Love with You, which Elvis Presley recorded, but I think someone else actually wrote and sang first.
I think a lot of people have covered it or changed it.
But the Elvis version is good.
Mm-hmm. Some Queen. You like some Queen?
Gosh, I do like some Queen. Having a good time,
Have you ever seen deer eat wild ferns?
Mm-mm. We don't live in
Real fern. We ain't got no fern country around here.
Nah,
this ain't fern girly.
No, I ain't too ferny around here. Feel the fern.
Would y'all, I'm assuming, hang up the compound and try longbow?
Mm-mm. Not hang it up. I try longbow, but
I picked up a gun this year, though.
I like to kill stuff, and that longbow is a good way to focus on your craft.
Yeah.
Do you guys gator hunt?
Would love to, but never been. Can't get a tag.
All right, last question, Eric. What's it gonna be?
I got to
appreciate y'all on the live here. It's been a lot of fun on the snow day.
Well, the only other question we have is: would you consider adding someone who knows nothing about hunting to the team?
No.
Well,
it depends. How much do you know about cameras?
Or how much money do you have?
That's right. Nick Lovin says, What's your favorite way to cook meat?
Fire.
I like
smoke.
Butter in a skillet, I think, is my favorite way to cook meat.
Man, I think my favorite way to cook meat, I like cooking on a griddle a lot. So I would say pretty similar to what KC's doing.
That's all of them.
I like olive oil a lot, though, too. I like the fragrance.
Mm. It's pretty tasty.
Thanks for all the questions, and you're welcome for all the answers.
Sorry for the technical difficulties at the beginning.
Yeah, thanks for hanging in there with us. I hope you guys had a great day. If you're out there working, I hope your boss got to watch with you. And we're going to be putting out some more videos soon. We've got, like Casey alluded to earlier, a hog type of video coming out soon. Actually, our other compadres, Gregory and Michael and David, are down there working on them. And then we're going to continue doing a lot of hog hunting. We're going to do some fishing this spring. So be looking forward to that. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Element. And make sure you subscribe to this podcast as well. That way you get updates and downloads, or however that works nowadays, whenever Apple releases the new podcast, new version of The Element. Thanks for being on YouTube. For y'all that had questions, for just staying tuned with what we do. Thank you for all the great questions. They were things that we were able to think about and challenge ourselves with. We appreciate that. Maybe we can do more of these live things in the future. Remember, this is your element.
Living it.
You ever get that feeling? The walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. Hey everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29th, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30th, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1st, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2nd, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4th, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5th, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at the Meat Eater.com. Hope to see you at the show.